They had never seen Everest. They were speaking about the piddly mountains in Makkah. They couldn't believe the largest mountain on the face of this earth at this moment goes 9 kilometers, just under 9 kilometers that way, above the earth. You know how far down it goes? It goes 125 kilometers. It's rooted 125 kilometers under the earth. And what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say about the mountains of the Day of Judgment? He says on the mountains on the final hour that they will be like clouds. You know, like clouds flow. That's how they will be. And another verse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَتَكُونُ الْجِبَالُ كَالْإِحْنِ الْمَنْفُوشِ, that the mountains will be like cotton wool. Have you ever seen cotton wool? Of course you've seen cotton wool. You know cotton wool? Yeah? You know, this is, you know, have you seen, you take cotton wool and you throw it up, how it just floats away? They won't even be like that. Allah is saying that on the Day of Judgment, the mountains will be manfush. Actually, kal-ihnil manfush actually means when you thread the cotton wool. So you know the little thread, you take out the little thread by thread, and then you throw that. That is what Everest will be on the day of Judgment. That's how it will be. And another word, وَكَانَتْ الْجِبَالُ كَثِيبًا مَحِيلًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that it will be, the mountain will be like sand. You know when you pour sand, heaped sand, when you pour it, how light it is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that's how it will be on the Day of Judgment. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the final, لَا تَقُومُ الصَّاعَةُ حَتَّى تَزُولَ الْجِبَالُ عَنْ مُوَاطِنِهَا, that the final hour will not be established until the mountains move from their place. The ulama say the mountains move in two different ways. One is haqiqi and one is hissi. One is haqiqi is when the earth moves, or due to some earthquake or something, that mountain move. And the second is hissi, which is moved through man's intervention. Man's intervention. Now let me take you to no other place besides Mecca. Let me take you to the Ummul Qurra, the center of the Muslims. You look at Mecca. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a narration related by Abdullah ibn Umar, it's recorded by Abdul Razak in his Musannaf, and the narration is jayyid, it's acceptable. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a time will come that the belly of Mecca will be cleft open and river-like passages will be dug through. A time will come that the belly of Mecca will be cleft open. Cleft means to make a hole in something, to make a hole in the surface. And there will be river-like passages. Now, this narration baffled the muhaddithin. They couldn't work it out. Why? Because it didn't make any sense to them. So the best interpretation they could come out with, that Mecca today is a very dry place. A day will come that Mecca will be a very moist place, a very wet place. If you look historically at Mecca, Mecca was in the center and then it's surrounded by mountains. Today Mecca is on each side of the mountains. The ulama say now today we understand this narration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They actually meant that the belly of Mecca meant the mountains will be cleft open and you will have river-like passages. If you look at anything, all those passage tunnels look like rivers turn the other way. That's what they look like. Rivers turn upside down. And the ulama say, now we understand this narration. And then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the same narration, he said, he said that the buildings in Mecca will be higher than the mountains. Subhanallah. You look at that monstrosity that they have in Mecca today. You know, you look at the monstrosity that they have in Mecca, that clock tower. You know how that's the tallest clock tower in the world. It's 7 times higher than the minaret of the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's one of the tallest buildings in the world. One of the tallest buildings in the world. Let me go back to a narration I mentioned to you earlier on. The first hadith I mentioned in the hadith of Jibreel, when Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam about the final sign of the final hour. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "And tell it al-amatu rabbataha, wa antara al-huffatu al-urratu al-a'la ri'a shay yatatawaluna fil bunyan." That a time will come that you will see al-huffatu al-urrat, the barefooted, semi-naked, destitute shepherds, ri'a shay, they will compete with each other in building the tallest buildings. The Messenger of Allah was asked, who is the ri'a shay? Who are these shepherds? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, humul arab. Humul Arab. You look today, subhanAllah. The tallest building in the world is in Dubai. Just over 800 meters. And now, in Kuwait, they want to build a building which is called Burj al-Mubarak al-Kabir, 1,001 meters, just over a kilometer. In Bahrain, they are thinking about, and all the drawings are made. All the architect drawings are made. The Burj al Marjan, which is 1,022 meters high. So then the Saudis are now want to make the Kingdom Tower. And then comes, and there's more to this, I'm just making it brief, others do discuss, and then Walid bin Talal, Prince Walid bin Talal comes into the mix and he's discussing, listen to this, he's discussing about making a building which is 1,600 meters tall. That is twice as tall as the tallest current building. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said 1,400 years ago, يَتَطَاوَلُونَ فِي الْبُنْيَانِ. And he was asked, who are the ri'a shay? And the Messenger of Allah said, humul arab. They will be the Arabs. But see, all these buildings, but no izzah. All these buildings, but no izzah. All this dunya, but no respect. You have no say on the world stage. The more you build, the more you ridicule. You have all that wealth, but nobody takes you seriously. Because nobody's ever taken people serious because of the cars that they drive, because of the building that they live in. People take you seriously with what you contribute to humanity. Your human rights are appalling. You treat your workers like rubbish, and then you build buildings upon buildings upon buildings. When Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu went to Sham, and he reached Sham, and the narrations mentioned that Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah said, "Oh, Amir al-Mu'mineen, you're going to meet these leaders. These leaders live a pomp and lavish lifestyle. They expect other leaders to be just for a little while." Umar has come all the way from Medina. He's got patchy clothes, old clothes on. They say, "Amir al-Mu'mineen, momentarily, just a little while, just change your clothes." In some narrations, it mentioned that he actually did change his clothes. Some mentioned it doesn't. But anyway, the lesson is the same. He said the same statement on both occasions. He entered the tent, he changed his clothes, he went out of the tent, he took a few steps, and then he turned to Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiallahu anhu. And he said, "Oh Abu Ubaidah, kunna qawman adhillah, fa'azzana Allahu bil-Islam." He said, "We were a base nation and Allah gave us honor through Islam." Not through clothes, not through buildings. Allah gave us honor through Islam. Where will we be if we relinquish the teachings of Islam? And you know, today, wallahi, you know, recently I was in Spain, and whilst I was in Spain, I was teaching the history of Spain. So every day, for every other day, I would teach 4 hours the history of Spain. You know, and the history of Spain is very, very, very touchy. If you really study the history of Spain deeply, wallahi, it's very, very saddening. So when I finished, everybody said to me, "Sheikh, where were the North Africans? Where were the Ottomans? They were a superpower at the time. Morocco was what? Just across the 12 miles away. Where were these people?" History will remember today. And they will see all the oppression which is going on. And people will ask 100 and 200 years later, where were the Muslims? And you know the same reply which you can give regarding the Muslims of Spain, you can give. They were very happy in their fiefdoms. They were very happy in their fiefdom. They're their little kingdoms. They had their little kingdoms and they were very happy as long as they preserved their kingdoms. Let me tell you what's a current kingdom. And I say this with all due respect, not having a God. Today, what have our kingdoms become? Our masjid have become kingdoms here today. Our centers, our institutions. This is reality. Well, I'll tell you why. Because see, we build a £1 million masjid and then they tell us, listen, you got to say this and you can't say this and you can't say this. And we said, okay, we got to preserve the masjid. Otherwise, we lose the masjid. Otherwise, they're going to target us. And every single masjid, all are thinking exactly the same. And I know this because I work with masjids. Every single masjid is saying, you know, they're right. Every committee member is saying, you know what, I must preserve this fiefdom. You know, I worked 10 years here. So then they water down your Islam for you. You don't speak about human rights. You don't speak about oppression. You don't speak. You just keep quiet. And then you got a masjid which has no soul. You got a member which has no speeches. Speeches which are just pleasing. This is not what fear. Fiefdoms come in many forms. And you know, the best word that sums it up is Mu'tamid bin Abad. Mu'tamid ibn Abad was a king, and he was one of the last kings. But he was quite a powerful king, but there were loads of other fiefdoms at the time. So Alfonso, the Christian king, got very brave. So he only had Mu'tamid to defeat. If he defeated Mu'tamid, he would have taken the vast majority of Spain. In North Africa, there was a leader called Yusuf bin Tashfin. Yusuf bin Tashfin was a very pious leader, the leader of the Murabitun. So Mu'tamid said something. He said, I have one of two choices. Either I call Yusuf bin Tashfin to help me, but the possibility with that is that when Yusuf bin Tashfin comes, he might not go back. And he may stay and he may take over my kingdom as well. Or the other option I have is that I let Alfonso. I stay here and eventually Alfonso will take it. He said, these are the two options that I have. He said, I'd rather take the former than the latter. He said, why? He said, because history will curse me. He said, every Muslim will curse me from the pulpit that you were the person who gave Muslim Spain to the Christians. And then he said his amazing statement. Wallahi, amazing statement. He said, I would rather be a shepherd, a camel herder in North Africa under Yusuf bin Tashfin than be a swine herder in Castile under Alfonso. Many Muslims, may Allah guide us all, you know, we have decided that we rather be swine herders. We rather go with the flow. Your dunya will finish, my dear respected brothers. Everybody's dunya will finish. What you will take with you is your a'mal. That's it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm going to briefly finish here. Okay, so, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا الْوُحُوسُ حُشِرَتْ. And on that day, this is an amazing verse. Look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and when the predatory animals will all huddle together, will all gather together. Why doesn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just say, when the animals will gather all the animals? Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala use the word wuhush? The reason Allah uses the word wuhush, predatory animals, the beast animals. Why? Because see, the nature of the beast animal, the nature of the lions, the tigers, the crocodiles, is that they never gather in one place. They never gather. But on that day when the trumpet will be blown, they will all gather together. They will all gather. They will be so scared that they will all huddle up together. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِذَا الْإِشَارُ أُطِّلَتْ. And on that day when the 10th month old camel, the 10th month old camel will be forsaken. The 10th month old pregnant camel, sorry, 10th. A camel which is 10 months pregnant will be forsaken. The most beloved thing to the Arabs was the camel. And then out of the camel that was, which was 10 months pregnant, it was the Ferrari, it was the Lamborghini, which was a nice area in Peterborough. What's a nice area? West Ham. That's in London. I used to support those guys for a while. West Town. Okay, don't lie to me. Jacob, you live in West Town. Yeah, I had this one done to me before one place. Okay, wherever. Your nicest house, your dream house. All this on that day you will forsake. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, Ya ayyuhan nas, ittaqu rabbakum. Inna zalzalata sa'ati shay'un azim. Allahu Akbar. He said, O man, fear your Lord, because the zalzala, the shaking of the hour is azim. Yawma tarawnaha. The day you will see it. Tadhalu kullu murdi'atin amma arda'at. Can you imagine this? Every mother who has her suckling child will leave that child. Suckling child will leave that child. Every woman who is pregnant will lose, will drop her load. And you will see people that they are, you will see people like they are intoxicated, but they are not intoxicated. Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recalls that day. Let me just finish off here. I think I've gone over my time considerably. Let me finish here. Imagine if you were alive on that day. Imagine. Imagine you were alive on that day when Allah, and this is the most important part of the entire speech. Imagine you were alive on that day and the trumpet is blown. What would Allah expect from you? That day, the sun falls. The stars fall out of the heaven like ping pong balls. A mother who's suckling a child leaves her child. The day the animals are all scattered, the seas all come together. The day everything is shaking. What would Allah expect from a believer? There will be no believers. But if you were alive on that day, what would Allah expect from you? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, amazing narration. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you are alive and the final hour was occurred and you were sowing a seed, finished sowing that seed. What is the purpose? You're sowing a seed, the world is going to end, and the Messenger of Allah says, finish sowing that seed. You're not going to reap the fruits of that seed. So what does the Messenger of Allah mean by this? The ulama say that the Messenger of Allah is saying that if you are alive and the trumpet is blown, the horn is blown, and you are doing an action, carry on with that action. No matter how big the trial and tribulation befalls you, when you are doing an action, let nothing prevent you. Let nothing prevent you. And this is what believers are meant to be like. We don't blame other people. We don't absolve ourselves of responsibility. The imam doesn't absolve himself, and you as a congregation don't absolve yourself. The elders don't absolve themselves. And all, you know, the elders say, "Ah, yar, these youngsters are just like the bikare. Party ni sunte, they don't listen to us." The youngsters say, "You know, these old codgers. You know, nothing's going to change until they kind of move on. You know, so for the next 20 years, you don't have to do anything. The elders don't have to do anything because the youngsters don't listen." Believers are not people who absolve themselves. We don't blame America for our troubles. In all honesty, we don't blame the governments. We don't even blame the Muslim rulers. We know what they're on and we acknowledge what they're on, but we don't blame others because believers don't absolve themselves. Believers are people of actions. You know, you often hear the elders say, and everybody, now I'm an elder, I say it as well. Say, Yar zamana yesa. Zamana yesa. You know, time is like this. You know, that's the time that we're going through. Imam Shafi rahimahullah says, Na'ibu zamanana wal aibu fina, wa mali zamanina aibun siwana. So, Na'ibu zamanana wal aibu fina. So, we blame time. But the truth is that the fault lies within us. And if time had any one fault, it is that it has to carry the likes of me and you. That is the only fault with time, that me and you exist in that time. So as believers, we are positive people. One of my friends, he's a Mawlana. He said, I met one of the Muslim leaders. I won't mention his name. He said, well, I met one of the Muslim leaders. And I said to him, you know, I saw what's happening in the world and I was concerned. And I said, you know, what's going to change? He said, what's going to change? So this guy, I mean, everybody knows this leader's name. I won't mention his name. He goes, nothing's going to change until the Imam Mahdi comes. See, now this is a defeatist mentality. This is a defeatist mentality. The Messenger of Allah. You know, when you look at the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, amazing. Wallahi, What a positive individual the Messenger of Allah was. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا قَالَ رَجُلْ حَلَكَ النَّاسِ فَهُوَ أَهْلَكَهُمْ. When a person says that the people have been destroyed, he's the one who's destroyed them. Why? Because he's created a state of despondency. You don't say, everything is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You say, you know, people have been destroyed, meaning we can't do anything. And you can read this in two ways, like the way I read it, or you can read it with ism tafdhil. إِذَا قَالَ رَجُلْ حَلَكَ النَّاسِ فَهُوَ أَهْلُكُهُمْ. When a person says that the people have been destroyed, then he's the most destroyed amongst them. Why? Because he doesn't trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have evil prevailing. This is the nature. What a beautiful statement of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. Umar radiallahu anhu was going towards Sham. He reaches Sham, the outskirts of Sham. When he reaches there, he hears that there's a plague in Sham. This is the second time Umar went to Sham. So he reaches the outskirts of Sham and there's a plague. So he discusses it with the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And eventually he decides that we won't go into Sham. We won't go because it's a plague. So somebody said to Umar ibn al-Khattab, he said, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, atafirru min qadrillah. Atafirru min qadrillah. Are you running away from the decree of Allah? Meaning, if you go into Sham, if Allah wants you to become ill, you will become ill. It's the decree of Allah. Atafirru min qadrillah. Look at the answer of Umar ibn al-Khattab. He said, Naam. نُفِرُّ مِنْ قَدْرِ اللَّهِ إِلَىٰ قَدْرِ اللَّهِ. What an amazing understanding. He said, yes, we are running away from the qadr of Allah, the decree of Allah, to the decree of Allah. What does it mean? It means, look, evil is always going to be there. That is the qadr of Allah. But it's also the qadr of Allah that you do something positive. Haq and Ba'al is the Qadr of Allah that Ba'til will exist. But it's the Qadr of Allah that Haq will exist. But are you going to become that Haq? This is the Qadr of Allah. In the time of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, there was a man who stole. And Umar asked him, why did you steal? And he said, Qadrullah. He said, decree of Allah, that's why I stole. So Umar had his hand chopped off. His hand got better. Umar called him back and he whipped him 80 times. He said, you slandered Allah. Allah didn't want you to steal. So it's the qadr of Allah that things that you're going to be tried and tribulations. But believers are positive people. Subhanallah. Let it come. Alhamdulillah. We remain firm. We remain steadfast for the sake of Allah. We are people who Allah said, Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas. You are the best. Look, you are the best of people taken out for the benefit of humanity. Be those best of people. Do something which makes a change. You know, do something. Don't just sit on your backsides and hope for things to change. This is not the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that Allah creates people. He creates people. But are you going to be that person? Junaid al-Baghdadi rahmatullah alayhi said a beautiful statement. If somebody else said it, people would have put a fatwa kufr on that person. If somebody else said the statement Umar ibn Khattab, نُفِرُّ مِنْ قَدْرِ اللَّهِ إِلَىٰ قَدْرِ اللَّهِ, people would have put fatwa. Junaid al-Baghdadi said, he said, a man is he who repels the qadrs of Allah with other qadrs of Allah. A true man is he who repels the qadr of Allah with other qadrs of Allah. Meaning, if Allah has decreed evil to be there, if Allah has decreed evil, then create, be the qadr of Allah which will repel it. And this is an opportunity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us all. You know, mashallah, it's beautiful to see so many youngsters here. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you for being here. You know, these are the future. Get them involved in the masjid. You know, get these guys. I know they're going to make a noise occasionally. Yeah, give them a couple of backhanders occasionally. They'll be all right. Yeah. Please edit that part, yeah? No. Get the youngsters involved in the masjid. Alhamdulillah, I'm sure this, mashallah, you have an excellent imam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him istiqamah. You know, make it vibrant. Get the youngsters involved. These are your future. You know, do not be ever believe, be complacent. Wallahi, do not be complacent. If you study the history of Spain, 800 years, proverbial. It was a proverbial state. in the time of Abdurrahman III, you could say the most powerful state on the face of this earth. Where is it now? Do not be complacent. Your challenge has just started. Let me tell you, all these churches that we are buying, who says that there's any guarantee that they will remain masjids tomorrow? No guarantee. Unless you make the effort, unless you have some vision, unless you have a vibrant Islam, unless you have an Islam which impacts people's hearts, unless you have people at the forefront who are the cream of the crop. That's it. You have the people who are the cream of the crop. In the time of the Prophet ﷺ, this is what they chose. They made the people cream of the crop. Why choose Bilal? The Messenger of Allah, look at all those ahadith regarding adhan, the virtues of adhan. Why choose a slave, an ex-slave? Why? Why not choose a person of Quraysh? If it's Bengali masjid, why not choose a Bengali? Why not choose a Pakistani? Why not choose a Gujarati if it's a Gujarati? You know, this is, why choose Bilal? Why give this man all the virtue? Because he was the best man for the job. That's it. To the degree that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu bought Bilal. Look at this. He bought Bilal. He went to Umayyah and he said, Umayyah, sell me Bilal. And Umayyah said, I'll sell him to you because you corrupted him in the first place. So he said, how much? He said, 10 gold coins. So he went home and he bought back 10 gold coins. And he gave him those 10 gold coins and Umayyah began to laugh. And Abu Bakr asked him, Umayyah, what are you laughing for? He said, Abu Bakr, I swear by Allah, if you had haggled with me and offered me one gold coin for Bilal, I would have sold him for one gold coin. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, Umayyah, I swear by Allah, if you had asked me for 100 gold coins for Bilal, I would have given you 100 gold coins. Now look at the ihsan of Abu. He bought him, and then what would he say? He would say, Bilal Sayyidi. Bilal is my master. The best man after the Anbiya alayhim salatu was salam to walk on the face of this earth was Abu Bakr. And he's saying regarding a slave that he bought, that he is my master, because he didn't look at his status, he didn't look at the color of his skin, he looked at his virtue. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu would say, Abu Bakr Sayyiduna wa Ataqa Sayyiduna. Abu Bakr is our master and he freed our master, Bilal radiallahu anhu. You know, so let's, you know, we need, and this emanates from leadership. Emanates from leadership. You know, the masjid needs to be vibrant. You need to have outreach products, a project. Listen, let me tell you, nothing's going to change overnight. Let me tell you, dream on. No matter how much good work you will do, there will be always people there to criticize you. Because people are like that. Your Muslims will criticize you. You will have people, elitists in the government who will criticize you. You will have racists who will criticize you. You will have Islamophobes who will criticize you. They come in many shapes and forms. Do you understand? The EDL are formed. Why? It's not because necessarily they dislike Muslims. If they had a chance, they would dislike blacks. But it's not fashionable to dislike blacks anymore. Do you understand? So that's their nature. They're always going to exist. If somebody else pops up tomorrow, they'll dislike that because that's what they are like. You'll have these elitists, go to private schools. They can't take the fact that why are so many young Pakis so assertive? That's it. As simple as that. How did you migrants become so assertive in our country? As clear as that. Let me tell you, that is the underlying issue. For many of them, not for all of them. And then there are those who are Islamophobes because of ignorance. Because of ignorance. Because they've always seen a negative image of Islam. That's it. But see, let me give you an example. And I know I'm taking the time. But let me give you an example. Let's try to understand where they are. Okay? And I often give this example. I said, let me give you an example. I'm back home in Pakistan in my village. And some Christians come in my village and they build a big, what they call, church. Yeah? And then their women start walking around, what they call, semi-naked. Yeah, we'll say, well, what's going on here? Do you understand? Imagine how tolerant, I'm just trying to, so we, to a degree, we're not justifying, we to a degree understand the other. because sometimes we fail to understand the other. We would do, I think, a lot more than they would do. Yeah, maybe we here wouldn't, because, you know, we've been brought up in a different, but those cousins back there would do a lot more. Do you understand? However, the difference, the fundamental difference is this. Those over there never claim to give people equal rights. Those over here do. That's the difference. That's the fundamental difference. But it's important for us to also understand the other. And the other comes in many forms and shapes. Some are Islamophobes, not because they actually believe what they see on TV. And we've done nothing to change the narrative. And then there are others who have other intentions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who work for His deen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who are steadfast for His deen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us united in this dunya. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reunite us in Jannah. Jazakum Allah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.